the sound we know and love, and none of the drama that you expect with Baywatch. No, this is Humboldt Baywatch, where we find out all the great things that you can do and see all about the environment in Humboldt County, and it is brought to you by Cocotap, making all of the gear that you need to get into the water. And please, Carol Vandermeer, be on the line. Are you there? Are you there, Carol?
Hey, man.
Oh, good, good, good. Okay. I wanted to make sure that
you're sounding a little distant there for a moment.
Well, I had you on because you had called back. These phone lines, I will tell you, I have been doing this for in the studio for 3 years, and I still just get complete terror every single time we do this, because I just, it's old technology, yet I treat it like it's brand new each and every time.
It'll be fine. It'll be good.
It's
great to talk to you this morning, this foggy morning. It's September. It feels like fall is really upon us.
It's true.
I know we really have a few more days of summer technically left.
I think we're September 22nd or 19th or somewhere in there.
Yeah, right? I usually call it the 21st. It varies. Yeah, the autumnal equinox is really the official time when we switch and call it fall. So I am still squeezing every little drop I can out of summer, and had a great time up on Upper Redwood Creek this last weekend and up near the Tall Trees Grove. So that was awesome. That was just perfect. And we're able to sit by the creek, take a nice last summer swim, frolic with the otters, and it was just beautiful.
Well, I feel like you really do always go to the best places, and you do all the best nature watching, which is great, because then you can always come back and tell us all these wonderful things that you do. I'm always stuck because I got Penny. We go to the same beach spot each and every weekend, so I'm glad to know that other people are out there enjoying other parts of Humboldt County other than the dunes. But there's still lots of things to watch. And today, we're going to be talking about something that you can see all over Humboldt County, right?
That is right, right. I know sometimes we take for granted some of the amazing beauty that we have around here, including egrets that we see even cruising on 101 around the bay. You most often see great egrets, but I don't know if everybody realizes that we actually have 3 different kinds of egrets that you could see in our area. And there's some nice little tips for how to tell the difference. So the most common that you see out there along the fields are the great egrets. They are huge. They almost have a 5-foot wingspan, and they've got that S-shaped neck, and they're constantly searching and foraging around, and they have beautiful white feathers. And my husband was saying, you should talk about egrets. And I said, well, what do you want to know? And he said, how do they keep their feathers so white? So I did a little sleuthing and learned a pretty cool gee whiz fact about how egrets and herons, you know, who spend all their time poking around the mud, you know, how do they keep their feathers so clean? And I learned a cool little factoid that the egrets and herons, that family, they have what are called powder-down feathers. And what these are feathers that don't molt. They just grow continuously. But the very fine ends break off into this fine powder, and they've got a special little preening foot that acts like a little comb. And they comb this dry powder, which is like a keratin, which is what the feathers are made of, but it's slightly oily, and it takes off, it kind of adheres to the mud and takes off the dirt and mud, and it's kind of like a little dry shampoo that they have, which I thought was pretty fascinating.
I had no idea that we would have so much in common. Dry shampoo and keratin, which I'll tell you, we spend a lot of money putting keratin into our hair when they're just breaking it off of their feathers.
I know. Isn't that wild? And a lot of birds do have this, but I think the herons and the egrets have these patches of powder down feathers that they can pull upon and comb with their specially adapted comb toes and keep those dazzling feathers beautiful. And the egrets, I imagine when you've seen them, they have these long, especially during the breeding season, they have these long, really fluffy feathers. And those feathers nearly cause egrets to, you know, dance at the brink of extinction around the because egrets especially and other fancy birds were hunted for their feathers to make what actually the French term for this plume of feathers from a hat is also pronounced. It's spelled differently, but it's called an egret. And those feathers really almost led to the demise, complete demise. But luckily, there were some forward-thinking conservationists and those early conservationists who halted hunting of birds for their feathers were really, that was really kind of the roots of the start of the Audubon Society, which is all about conserving habitat for birds and other wildlife. So kind of an interesting, they've made a great comeback. So it's one of those true comeback stories.
Well, we love a comeback story, and we love that there was somebody out there who went, listen, these things look great on a hat, but they look even better foraging around. So what are they foraging around for out there? They made a big comeback. What are they eating out there?
Well, part of why they made a comeback around here is, as you probably are aware, our Humboldt Bay is smaller than it would have been historically because it's been diked, and there's cattle, agricultural fields and towns and all, and it's created all this sort of wet, mushy habitat that's perfect for egrets who are going hunting for snails, frogs, crabs. I see them out in front of my house hunting for fish, and they have that long beak that they can sometimes spear or slightly open and catch fish, and they are pretty interesting when you watch them, which I imagine if you have a spot and you like to sit and wait quietly, like especially at the Arcata Marsh, you can watch them hunting. And they have this groovy little adaptation where they can coil their neck back into that S shape. And what that does is it allows them to release this sudden burst of power, you know, when they go to spear or catch that fish or whatever it is they're preying on. And that, and if you look at their vertebrae, they have one longer vertebrae that allows for this folding and another. I mean, it just blows my mind. The more I learn about nature, the more it blows my mind. Another adaptation they have is when this happens and they have their neck kind of coiled back, ready to hunt, the vertebrae actually goes in front and protects the esophagus so that if there's any kind of bouncy, danger food that could maybe, be harmful to the bird and their skinny neck, and it moves in the front of it. And then it moves back in place, like in the normal, just like you and me, where we have our vertebrae behind our esophagus and the pipe. So bizarre. Bizarre but true. So that crazy S-shaped neck helps them hunt, and they've got some wild adaptations, longer vertebrae, and actually a neck that can move to protect that esophagus and then snap back into place.
Well, I'm going to have to see that.
I found that pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely have to see that in action when it comes to the vertebrae. And I also think often about the birds that dine on fish in particular. I think those are pokey and they're going down and they're alive and they're thrashing around in there. And I kind of think about kind of the bird's perspective. Obviously the fish perspective, not great on the way down, unavoidable there. But I always wonder about the birds, how that's going for them, their perspective going down. So glad to know that there's some protection because I think about that thrashing around on the way down.
I know, it's kind of crazy. And they have other cousins, other relatives that are in our area that you can see. Another egret that you might see, even cruise along the highway, but maybe more when you're out at the marsh and looking around or hanging out by the bay, are the snowy egrets. And snowy are also white, so they look very similar, but if you saw them standing side by side, they're much smaller than the great egrets. And the cool thing about snowy egrets is that they have these little yellow snow boots that they wear. I call them snow boots because it helps me remember, oh yeah, that's the snow egret. And their little toes are bright yellow, little boobies. Some think that those little yellow toes might be an adaptation as they kind of wiggle their toes around to attract fishies nearby, but I can't tell you that for sure, but I have read that in places.
Well, it could also be the way that they adapted to have nice shiny feathers. Maybe it's just a little fashion statement for them, because that also is my favorite part of the snowy egret. I noticed is their little fashionable yellow feet.
Yes, their yellow feet are pretty awesome. And they have a black bill, where the great egret has a yellow bill. And then there's yet another kind of egret that actually I just learned hadn't really started coming to our area until like the 50s or 60s. But cattle egrets were actually from Africa, and through a long, complicated story of trade winds and migration, they seem to have naturally migrated to our continent and were documented to breed here in Humboldt County, not until 1960. I hadn't even realized that. And they are much smaller, and they have a little yellow bill. But you can see cattle egrets around here. They're called cattle egrets because they're kind of known to follow cattle and other grazing mammals who are kicking up bugs and, piles of dung where probably all kinds of other critters live as well. But it was sort of an eye-opener to me to understand that they are relatively latecomer, but sometimes these migrations can happen without us humans, actually introducing them. They just naturally expanded their range.
Well, and this is a great place to do
all these egrets with, now that you cannot no longer hunt them for their beautiful feathers, they're all doing fairly well.
Well, I could definitely imagine. We've got bay, and we definitely have cattle. We've got fish, snails, and cattle. So we've definitely got them covered when it comes to what they like to snack on.
Yes, we've got them all. And then there are places where they breed, and probably a lot of people, if you're cruising over the bridge in 255 by Indian Island, probably many people recognize that there is a rookery where a variety of egrets and herons do nest and have their young. It's an interesting quandary, though, is that Gunther, who's an early settler, here, planted those great big Monterey cypress, which are non-native trees, but they have provided habitat for a heron rookery. And slowly but surely, those trees are coming to the end of their life and not regenerating. So there have been some folks kind of wondering, should we take a proactive approach and plant some native trees that can eventually kind of take the place? Or perhaps over time we might see the rookery shift to other areas that have some nice thick trees, maybe around, they also nest around Table Bluff as well.
Are you saying, sorry, what is the word that you're saying for where they're nesting?
A rookery.
I don't know that I have heard that. For all of us non-bird nerds, is a rookery
right.
just
non-bird
where they...
Nerds, rookery all is right. where herons and egrets will gather and build their great big giant nests of sticks. And it's, I see glimpses of it when I travel over 255, and at certain times of the year, they're all gathering, and sometimes they're gathering and hanging out and chatting more than they are actually raising young. So there's not the documented numbers of actual chicks there might be lower than just the gang hanging out there. But it's kind of interesting, if you look on Google Earth at certain times, I've seen some photographs that show this tree just bright white with lots of egrets and a lot of bright white below from the egret flat. So it's kind of interesting. But yeah, right there on Indian Island.
I love thinking that they're just hanging out there too. Like, it's nice if there's some parentage going on. We obviously want to have some chicks around for the next generation. But I also like to know that they're just hanging out, yucking it up. They've got their own space, and then now maybe they'll have to find a new space for, the next generation. But isn't that how it goes? The old hangouts become new hangouts.
That's right. That is right.
So I definitely see lots of egrets, and I like the fact that egrets, whether I'm kayaking and I kind of head down by the bridge over in the bay, I can see them there. Or if I'm just going along the safety corridor, the 255, I feel like if you keep your eye out, you can see them just about lots of places here in Humboldt County. It's nature coming to you.
Yes, yes. And you know, the closer you look, the more you see, and find your magic spot and sit and wait. The marsh is a great place for doing that. And then maybe take a moment to let your blood pressure calm down, take in those benefits of just sitting, waiting, and watching, and wildlife will appear, and whether it's insects or other critters moving around you, it's a really well-documented way to improve your mood, reduce those stress hormones, improve your immune function by finding that magic spot and taking in some of our beautiful wildlife.
Well, and that is something that we have in spades up here in Humboldt County. If you're not sitting and lowering that blood pressure, what are you doing up here?
Right, right.
It really is the best part. So egrets, now obviously they are physically beautiful. However, do we have a sonic representation for the beauty of egrets? Did you find anything that that you thought did them justice for a song today?
Well, no, I did not find a sonic representation of the beauty of egrets. However, I found a song that I thought was kind of fun and playful, a little play on words, kind of reminding us of egrets and getting out there and taking advantage of life, called No Regrets by Little Willie John.
Let's see if I can find this. There we go. No Regret. Gotcha. That's good. That is good, because I was far more literal. And I was like, well, I found kind of a weird jazzy piece called Egrets, but I like this. Thinking outside the box.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you could do both if you so desire. But that was just my, those egrets. No regrets.
This is, no. I like this. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me today. And especially, I love when I get a new little term like rookery. I am well on my way to becoming a bird nerd. I am well on my way.
We'll have a ceremony as you graduate.
Perfect. A little badge that I can wear. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it. We'll listen to a little Willie John.
All righty. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
I've no regrets. Today, well, I have no regrets for this life I live.
I've no regrets.
No regrets, no regrets. Now, how lucky can I be?
Regrets.
And I sure hope, oh yeah, that you have love like
I've
me.
No,
I have your person I know you'll never see. If it should be a say that he calls me today, I've no regrets for this life I live.
No regrets.
I've got
no
friends.
Regrets.
And I got
no
my hair.
No regrets.
And I got love. And that's my wealth. I've been living the life
I've
of a king.
No,
I've been a lot of places, oh yeah, yeah, and I've seen a lot
I've
of things.
No,
even when I'm sad, you can still hear me sing. If it should be a sin that he calls me today, well, I've no regrets for this life I live.
No regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets.